Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. We got the new setup here. What do you think? Let me know in the chat. This took a lot of hard work and effort, but the big news is Jerome Powell just came out with a rate decision. Did they raise rates? Did they lower rates? Did they keep them the same? Well, odds are they kept them the same, which is what happened. Spoiler alert. But what really matters is what Powell said about a pivot in 2024. Let's go right over to CNBC and check out how the market responded. And I want to get some quotes from different quote unquote experts in the industry so we can determine what Jerome Powell was really saying when he came out with what the market perceived to be a very dovish press release or a very dovish statement to the press. I think it was actually a press conference. So, okay, let's start by going over to CNBC. First thing, Dow up 400 points to record close after Fed says three rate cuts are on the way. So not we're thinking about raising rates or not that we're data dependent. It's three rate cuts are on the way, at least according to CNBC. So remember that they said this and how they said it, because when we get into some of the other quotes from Jerome Powell, you'll see that they really don't reconcile and he's contradicting himself, which leads me to believe there's something going on underneath the surface that he doesn't really want you to know about. First thing I highlighted, the Fed left rates unchanged, but said it plans to cut three times before the end of the year. In other words, pivot, reaffirming its previous forecast from December. And let's also remember that in December or prior to December, they're all about being hawkish, 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 hawkish. And they're coming out and saying, oh, all that nonsense in the market about us lowering rates in 2024, just completely ignore it. Fake news. Then all of a sudden in December, he's like, oh, well, actually, it's probably not fake news. And now, even though we have had inflation surprise to the upside, at least inflation measured by the government, the CPI and some other metrics, he is coming out and saying, yeah, go ahead and set that aside. We're actually ignoring that, or we're paying attention to it, but we're not, that's not going into our decision-making process right now. And therefore, the dot plot is still correct. The central bank indicated it needs greater evidence inflation is easing before it starts taking its foot off the brake. And here's where you start scratching your head and you're like, wait a minute here. So you're coming out and confirming that you're definitely going to cut rates this year. But then you're also saying, in pretty much the exact same quote, almost the same sentence, that you need greater evidence inflation is easing before you cut rates. So how do you know definitively that inflation is going to come down or easing to the point where you can take your foot off the brake? Because remember, right at the top of the sentence, right at the top of the press conference, you said that you're definitely going to take the foot off the brake, but now you're saying you don't have enough data to do that. Help me out here. Obviously, it doesn't make sense. And what we've learned throughout, well, history, but especially going back to 2020, is when the central planners say things that don't make sense, that don't add up, nine times out of 10, it's because they're lying. They're lying. There's something else that's happening here they don't want to really disclose. There's an ulterior motive, if you will. And let's remember what the Fed is all about at the end of the day. It's psychology. Because you guys know from watching my videos that in reality, their balance sheet doesn't have that much of a difference or doesn't make that much of a difference mechanically. But psychologically, it absolutely does. So that's their power, is psychology. So they have to come out and lead you through this mental experiment or lead you through this psychological game. Maybe that's a better way to say it. So you take actions in the real economy based on what their objectives are. It's a total psyop. It's manipulation, plain and simple. Getting on to the next quote. This is from Powell. The committee does not expect it will be appropriate to reduce the target range until it has gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%. Then how can you come out and say that you're definitely going to be cutting rates three times this year? See, again, this doesn't make any sense. Let's move over to another article from CNBC where they go into more detail from other quote-unquote experts. Title of this article is Fed Meeting Recap, Everything Powell Said During Wednesday's Market Moving News Conference. So this looks like it's from Sarah Min. I'm not sure who Sarah is. Nonetheless, we're looking for data that confirmed the low readings that we had last year. Oh, she's quoting Powell. Okay. Or maybe she's the author of this and they're just taking a bit from her article. So this is from Powell. Let me read that again. Nonetheless, we're looking for data that confirmed the low reading that we had last year. Okay. So they're looking back at last year and saying we're looking for more data. And when we get that data, then we'll go ahead and raise rates. But how can you be confident that you're definitely going to get that data to the point where you're saying we're definitely going to be dropping rates three times this year? Moving on with the quote, and give us higher degree of, okay, yeah, I got that. Next quote here, strong hiring in and of itself would not be a reason to hold off on rate cuts, he said, this is Powell, adding, the job market by itself is not cause for concern around inflation.
What?
Are you kidding me right now? This is from the Federal Reserve that literally worships the Phillips curve. And just the video that we did yesterday on the Bank of Japan, what were they talking about? Price, wage, spiral. Price, wage, spiral. Oh my gosh, it's all about the price, wage, spiral. How many times have you heard about that in the media as they're quoting the central bankers? I mean, they just beat you over the head with it constantly. And now all of a sudden, Powell is coming out and saying, oh yeah, that Phillips curve dealio doesn't really matter. Again, you've got to scratch your head and say, wait a minute here. You're contradicting yourself and everything that you've said in the past. Something doesn't add up. This dog don't hunt, right? And we'll get into what I think it is in just a moment. Then he goes on to say an unexpected weakening in the labor market could also warrant a policy response. Wait a minute. The job market itself is not cause for concern around inflation. So the job market, now you're saying it doesn't cause inflation. But if we see weakness in the labor market, well, then that might force us to cut. This is, and you know what's unbelievable? Is people actually take them at their word. They don't even question this. The people in the mainstream media. It's really astonishing. So I guess this article from Pia Singh was titled, Powell Needs a Good Reason Not to Cut Rates, says Principal Asset Management's Seema Shah. Powell has perhaps shown his cards. Now, this is not a quote from Powell. It's from this Seema. I'm assuming a gal, maybe not. Powell has perhaps shown his cards. He needs a good reason not to cut rates rather than a reason to cut rates. Markets perhaps couldn't have asked, a reason to cut markets or inflation coming back down to their 2% target. Markets perhaps couldn't have asked for more from the Fed and equities will celebrate. Well, I agree there, but is the celebration justified? That's what you have to ask yourself. More on that in a moment. Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do, and this year it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers, guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, The Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalslive.com. And we will see you in Orlando May 31st through June 2nd. The Fed really, really wants its soft landing ending. Stronger growth, lower unemployment, high inflation, yet still no change in the median dot. Lower unemployment, okay. She emphasized that cutting rates before inflation is close to the 2% Fed's target, and while GDP growth is above trend, is a risky path. Okay, so what's the gal's name? Seema. Seema, let's think about this for a moment. It is true that based on your worldview, or the lens that you're viewing this from, it is a risky path. In fact, I would argue that it's extremely risky when you put yourself in the shoes of Jerome Powell. Why? Because he doesn't want to be remembered as Arthur Burns. That's probably priority number one. At the end of the day, he's just a human being and he's driven by emotion. And at that age, as a guy, you're driven by legacy. So you want history to remember you as Paul Volcker. The worst case scenario is that history remembers you as Arthur Burns. So understanding all of that, the Fed is still committing to pivoting, dropping rates three times, while, to her point, inflation is above the Fed's 2% target. GDP growth is above trend. I don't know, above trend. Yeah, because the trend was down. But GDP growth is not negative. Let's just put it that way. And some would argue that there's positive signs there with especially the nominal GDP. So Seema, you got to ask yourself, why would he risk this? Why would he risk all of that? It's not just risking the economy, it's risking his legacy. Maybe, just maybe, there's something that Jerome Powell sees happening with the economy, or maybe the global economy, that he's not sharing with you that would lead him to commit to these rate hikes, to take a dovish stance and make all of these contradictions based on what he's said on the past that really don't make sense at all. Or maybe they do make sense. I'm going to keep going with this article, but let me just give you a little bit of a preview as to what I'm talking about. I think that Powell's looking at
right here,
near-term forward spread. You guys have heard me talk about this all the time. And this, look, a lot of people accuse me of being a bearish or doom and gloom, or, oh, you've been predicting a recession for 45 years and it's never come true or something. Now, look, I'm just telling you what the yield curve tells me. That's all I'm doing. This is not George Gammon talking. This is the Fed's own metric, most powerful metric, according to them, for determining what the risk is for a recession or a hard landing. And if you go back and read everything that they said prior to 2021, or prior to the Cerveza sickness, it's all about the near-term forward spread. They say that this is even more powerful than the inversion of the curve, whether it's the three-month 10-year or the two-year 10-year. This is the Fed's main tool for determining risk of recession. So you've got Jerome Powell looking at this near-term forward spread. And by the way, it's getting more inverted, not less inverted. And then he's looking at Japan. Then he's looking at the UK. Then he's looking at Germany. He's looking at the Eurozone, looking at Finland, Ireland, more specifically. And he's saying to himself, okay, what's the probability that all of these economies go into recession and the United States avoids it? Then you combine that with the near-term forward spread. You combine that with the curve. You combine that with all these other things that we talk about on the channel. And I think that's what makes the most sense. Now, Powell doesn't want to come right out and saying, you know, I'm really, really worried about a recession, and that's why I'm taking a dovish stance in the face of inflation not even being close to 2%, inflation still being over 3% for that matter, but that's why I'm happy to commit to this, because I see storm clouds. But I'm not going to tell you that, because if I tell you that, in his mind, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Meaning that you, the average Joe and Jane, are going to say, oh my gosh, Jerome Powell is talking about recession, so I'm not going to spend as much money. And if I don't spend as much money, aggregate demand goes down. And if you're a Keynesian, that is the worst case scenario. So I don't want to lead anyone to believe that there's a problem, but I still want to remain dovish. How do I thread that needle? And I think it's when you read what Powell actually said and you consider him trying to thread that needle, it all makes sense. Now let's get back to the CNBC article here. Oh, here we go. Look at this. And this backs up exactly what I'm saying. No decision yet on balance sheet reduction. So if you're sitting there talking about how great the economy is and that you're not worried about it, and we're definitely headed for a soft landing or no landing, and the only reason you're talking about decreasing interest rates or pivoting is just because the economy has done such a miraculous job of recovering, and mysteriously, at the exact same time, we know inflation is going to come back down. We're going to have this Goldilocks type of path forward in 2024 and moving into 2025. And therefore, why would we not just add a little fuel to the fire as far as the health of the economy by dropping interest rates closer to where they were? You know, this is the argument, right? But if that's the case, then if we're normalizing everything, not that lower interest rates would be normal, because keep in mind, 5% is not high. 5%, historically speaking, is pretty much average, maybe even a little low. But if you're saying that the coast is clear as far as the economy, why would you not increase the QT? Remember, the balance sheet is still at, I don't have it right in front of you, maybe $7 trillion, something like that. Prior to the GFC, we started at $800 billion. So you're in the process of normalizing the balance sheet. Happened very, very slowly, of course, but you're in that process. So why would you stop if the coast was clear? In fact, he doesn't even say they're going to stop. He takes it one step further. Check this out. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the central bank has not yet. Okay, we got that. Oh, here we go. I'm going to reread this for the sake of being redundant, because the last part of this sentence is very important. Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the central bank has not yet come to a decision on how to change the pace of its balance sheet reduction, but he noted an adjustment isn't far off. So when I first read that, I thought, okay, well, an adjustment meaning they're going to increase QT. That's going to be the adjustment, because if the coast is clear, why not? I was wrong. The general sense of the committee is that it will be appropriate to slow the pace of runoff fairly soon, consistent with the plans we've previously issued. So wait a minute here. Why would the adjustment that isn't far off be maybe eliminating QT or reducing the amount of QT? It seems like he's almost prepping the market for quantitative easing and for the balance sheet to go back up. So when you consider the near-term forward spread and everything else that's going on, when you consider him trying to thread the needle and you consider him sticking to a dovish stance and saying we're definitely going to have these three rate cuts, and then you consider the fact that he's saying, okay, well, the balance sheet's going to change, or QT, and we're not going to increase the QT, we're going to decrease the QT, which leads me to believe that they're opening up the door to quantitative easing. You see how now all the pieces of the puzzle are starting to fit together? Oh, but wait, there's more. We believe our policy rate is likely at its peak for this type of cycle, and that if the economy evolves broadly as expected, it will likely be appropriate to begin dialing back policy restraint at some point this year. Okay, well, let's go and look at the Fed funds rate. And like I've said on this channel 1,000 times, once the Fed pauses, the next move is almost always down. But it's never down due to the economy having a no landing or even a soft landing. It always goes down as a result of the stuff. Not always. I shouldn't say that. Usually, it goes down as a result of the stuff hitting the fan. Because if the stuff wasn't hitting the fan, the Fed would have really no reason to cut unless the rates were above average. So if the rates are just at average, historically speaking, and if the stuff isn't hitting the fan, why would you cut rates? You see, the only reason they do is because a response to something like, let's just say the GFC, or more recently, the Cerveza sickness, or prior to the GFC, the dot-com bust. Here's what the S&P did today. It was really up. Look at this. It just went straight up as soon as Fed came out with that dovish press release. But you have to wonder if the market interpreted the press release correctly. And if they didn't, then they're offsides. Now, I want to be very clear. I am not stating that something is going to happen. There are no certainties. There are only probabilities at the end of the day. All I'm doing is a video trying to connect the dots so you can come to your own conclusions. And it is true that while the curve is still inverted, usually the stock market rips higher. So is this bearish? Maybe not. It absolutely could be bullish in the short term, but you got to make sure that you're hyper-focused if you're a short-term trader on risk management. And if you're long-term and you see this press conference the same way that I do, then maybe you're risk off, but that's your decision. The only thing I'm doing is telling you what's happening and then giving you my interpretation based on just some good old-fashioned common sense. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. I want to remind everybody to go over to rebelcapitalistlive.com and get your tickets ASAP. We've got some people. You get a free t-shirt when you come. Everybody could use a Rebel Capitalist t-shirt. And these are some of the main topics that we'll be discussing. And everyone's favorite speakers are going to be there. Got Mike Green coming, Kenny McElroy, Snyder, Hartman, McIntosh, Mark Moss, Joseph Wang going to be giving some incredible insights on the Fed, and red pill stuff from Cooper and Freedom Liberty, Robert Barnes. Oh, look at this, who we added as a VIP guest. I know someone out there in the chat's going to be really, really happy. That would be Simon, the uneducated economist himself. We're going to be adding more VIPs that you're going to want to rub shoulders with, have a drink with, get their opinion on what's happening with the economy. Viva Fry and Mr. Josh himself. So check out Rebel Capitalist Live ASAP. Get your tickets before the price goes up. We'll see you on the next video.